welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of science fiction. Later on, a strange pairing, we hear Jack Benny on the Suspense show from 1953. But right now, exploring tomorrow. This, in its own way, sort of a mysterious broadcast from the Mutual Broadcasting System from May 7th, 1958. It features the Gordon R. Dixon story, The Telepath, which actually goes under three names, like The Telepathics or Speak No More. And according to my research, this was written specifically for this radio show. Enjoy Exploring Tomorrow.
Exploring Tomorrow. And now here is your guide to these adventures of the mind, John Campbell, Jr.
There's the old saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, it isn't really power that corrupts, but immunity to punishment and control. And every fool with a little power wants to achieve that immunity. Usually it's held that like attracts like. The two individuals with the same great fundamental characteristic will be normally attracted to each other. You know, this isn't necessarily so. It may not be true. You may have two people who don't like each other, but are forced by the very nature of the fact that they have a unique characteristic to endure each other.
Oh, just a little more. Oh, Alan, isn't it beautiful the way it bubbles and bubbles? Oh, Alan, let's have champagne every night on our honeymoon.
You want to take a bath in it? I can arrange that, too.
Oh, Alan, really? Pink champagne?
Just as pink as you're blushing right now.
Oh, Alan.
What's the matter? Do you think Mr. and Mrs. Alan Carvel are going to live like the rest of the slobs? I tell you, baby...
Alan.
What's wrong, Alan?
Nothing.
Alan.
You look so funny all of a sudden.
Get off my back. Thank heaven I found you. Why haven't you been answering me these last few days?
Do I have to check in with you everything I do, every place I go?
Alan?
No, it's all right. I'm all right, Jeannie. Just leave me alone for a minute, hmm?
Get out of my mind, Laurie. Get out, I tell you. I'll talk to you later.
You'll talk to me now. What are you doing with this child? What are you trying to hide from me?
All right. I'll get rid of her, and then I can talk to you. Give me 20 or 30 minutes to take her home.
I'll give you half an hour, that's all. And don't try to close up your mind and hide from me again.
All right, I say.
Jeannie, it's all right.
Oh, you went so white there all of a sudden. Alan, honey, are you sick?
No, it's just one of those migraine headaches of mine. Honey, look, I better take you home.
Oh, honey.
No, it's all right. I just need some sleep, that's all. Come on, let's get your coat.
You better not come in. That old landlady.
Oh, that's okay. Good night, baby. Good night now.
And get lots of sleep. Take care of your poor head. Call me in the morning.
That's a deal. Good night, honey.
Good night, Alan.
What makes you do things like that, Alan?
You stuck with me every inch of the way, didn't you?
How old is she? 16?
17. What's it to you?
Oh, I have to be conscience for both of us.
Thank you, sweet Lorraine. Who asked you to?
You did, Alan. You always have. All these things you do are challenges to me to set right. All your venom against a fate that made you one of the only two telepaths in the world is twisted against me, your only partner in this lonely land. You strike out at me because I'm like you, and because by the same chance that made us, I'm the stronger one.
That's a lie. I can break loose from you any time. Let me go. I can't breathe.
I won't hurt you, Alan. I could never hurt you. Though I thank whoever or whatever's responsible for making us as we are, that it's me, not you, who has the additional power to reach out and move physical objects with my mind.
You would. You waste something like that and then feel good about it. What I could do with something like that, Why don't you leave me alone?
Because I love you, Alan. If you'd been a man with decent instincts, bound as we are together, we could have married and found what little happiness is possible for two like us in this world. But there's a twisted streak in you that wouldn't let you settle for that.
Go ahead, play the little mother. You're no good for anything else.
You didn't think so once, Alan.
You're over the hill, baby. Face it.
I've faced it, Alan. Have you?
What do you mean?
Can't you see you're getting worse? When we were just children together, before we'd even seen each other face to face, we used to talk to each other at night, clear across the city, mind to mind, about how someday we'd go out and find others like us. But if you had the chance to find someone like us now, you wouldn't take it. You don't want others. You want to be the only one.
Why not?
Why not? You've got a gun in your pocket right now. Don't you see the danger in all that? Don't you know what it can do to you?
Don't try to scare me, Laurie.
I'm not trying to scare you, Alan. A telepath living in a world of non-telepaths is not a normal person. He can't be. He has to walk a chalk line all the time to preserve his sanity. He can't afford inner conflicts or emotional violences or shocks. What do you plan to do with that girl? What's the gun for? And what's that you're trying to hide right now, right under the surface of your mind there?
All right. You want to know? I'll tell you. I'm getting out. I'm getting away from this city and away from you, and that girl goes with me. I'm going to take what I want, anything I want, and live like I deserve to, and you can't stop me.
Alan! Alan, answer me! Don't shut yourself off from me like that! Alan! Alan!
Exploring Tomorrow continues in just a moment.
This is Bill Goodwin. You know, someone once said humor is the true democracy. And that's why we Americans can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped to build our country's great institutions and industries. Like Bowleg Bill, hero of the tuna fishing industry. Back in Provincetown, Massachusetts, they claimed that when it came to hauling in the horse mackerel, as the Easterners call tuna, Bill could handle two gaffs at once and catch more than any six men put together. And they're still talking about the time Bill caught old Slick Britches, the biggest horse mackerel of them all. No one could ever get his hooks into Slick Britches, who weighed 2,000 pounds and had a tail 6 feet long. But Bowleg Bill promised to land him single-handed. He set out in his boat, toss-up, and when he spotted Slick Britches, he made a grab for him, but the tuna slipped through his hands. So Bill dove over the side, and before folks knew what had happened, Bill was sitting astride old Slick Britches, who was bucking like a bronco. He leaped almost a mile out of the water, but Bill hung on. All over the harbor they went, jumping and leaping, but still Bill hung on. Finally, Slick Britches gave one last leap over the toss-up and then calmed down, all the fight gone out of him. Bill steered him toward shore, but all of a sudden, he headed him back out to sea, slapped the tuna's tail and jumped off. Now, folks were mighty disappointed when Slick Britches disappeared, but it was like Bill told them, there's nothing that'll break a cowhand's heart so quick as to find a critter with the ruff all rode off at the first mount. Yes, sir, it is a democracy which lets us tell the stories of such a legendary character as Bowleg Bill with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, ladies and gentlemen, we will live together as a nation.
Telepathy has long seemed like a wonderful thing to have, a wonderful possession. But have you ever considered it in terms of the absolute end of privacy? You know, explorers have found that if you put two men in one little cabin isolated far away from the rest of the world, they don't learn to like each other. They learn to hate each other.
Now, Sue? Did I wake you, honey? I thought you was going to watch the Late Late Show on Channel 2. Well, it's just a little past midnight. Oh, I'm sorry I woke you, honey. It just felt like phoning. No, it's quiet as a church. Been through the plant and the tool shop 4 times already. I just going to check the offices and... Oh, now, come on. Now, stop worrying. Nobody knows about these night payroll deliveries. Anyway, they've come and gone. The money's already in the safe. Sure. Sure I will.
That's a gun you feel in your back. You say goodbye and hang up fast. And don't sit around.
No. It's It's all right. I just remembered I forgot to ring in, and I'll better hurry and do that right now. I'll call you back later. Goodbye.
All right, let's head for that safe over there. Now move.
Don't worry. I have a healthy respect for guns. There it is over there. I don't know what good it's going to do. I ain't got the combination.
Shut up. I'll stand over there where I can watch you.
Hey, you opened it right up. Who told you the combination?
The president of the company.
Are you kidding? What is this, a gag of some kind? Look, if this is just a joke, mister. No, I didn't make...
Think about jumping me, will you?
Slob.
Slob, that's all he was, a slob.
Oh, Alan, please tell me what this is all about. You go home with a migraine headache, and then you call up and get me out in the middle of the night. And you keep drinking, but you won't tell me what's the matter.
What's the matter? That's a funny one. Come here. Come close. I'm going to tell you something.
Alan, you're hurting my arm.
Listen to me. You want to know something? You know how trees think?
Hmm?
Yeah. They think real long, slow, and peaceful, and sometimes they take all winter just to think one little thought.
Trees?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking?
Oh, it isn't real thinking. It's just living, you know? You hear them living, calm and quiet and slow. And cats. Listen to me, baby. You know how cats think?
No.
Well, cats think sort of S-shaped, like a snake crawling. And dogs, you know, dogs are all excited. Up and down, you know, like a pogo stick. Even when they're dreaming. Everything thinks. Do you know that, Jeannie? Everything. All day long. Forever. Never. Everything goes on thinking. As long as they live, and when they're dying.
Alan, are you cold? Let me hold you. Oh, you're shivering like crazy.
Give me a drink. Hmm?
Sweetheart, you've had enough.
I want a drink, I said. Here, give me yours. You're not touching it anyway.
Alan, I really think you shouldn't be...
Look, I got a better idea. Tell you what, let's get out of here. Let's get out of this town tonight, and we'll go far away where she can't ever find us. We'll take my car and we'll head south. Right now. We can buy what we need as we go. We get married on the way. What do you say, Jeannie?
Well, Alan, I...
You love me. Don't you love me, baby? You said you'd always do anything I ever wanted. Well, this is what I want. Get out tonight. And don't worry about money. I got lots of it.
You have?
Sure.
Where did you get a lot of money all of a sudden?
I'll tell you when we're on the road, okay? Well, answer me. Or I'll leave you behind here.
Alan, you wouldn't go off and leave me.
Of course not, honey. But I gotta go. There's no two choices about it. I gotta go now. Now, you're coming with me, aren't you?
Well, I...
One of the worst things about a conscience is that the darn thing is always going with you wherever you are. Alan had something other than a conscience. And running away didn't do much good. You know, telepathy has no distance limitations.
Alan. Alan.
What?
It's starting to get light. Alan, you never did tell me where you got the money.
Not now. Not now. Can't you see I'm out of my feet?
Well, we could stop and get a couple of hotel rooms somewhere.
No, we've got to keep driving.
But we're nearly 100 miles out of town already. You keep saying we've got to keep driving, but... I don't see why we couldn't stop for just a few hours.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Alan.
You don't like it? Get out and take a bus back. Who needs you?
I don't know what's wrong with you. You never used to be like this. Then last night...
Well, just shut up!
Alan.
What?
Nothing.
Alan.
I'm not turning back.
Yes, you are, Alan. This time you're turning back, even if I have to make you...
Make me, then.
Alan, you're slowing down.
She's making me. She's making me.
Well, Alan.
Talk out loud.
You look in pretty bad shape.
Give me a cigarette.
There's some on the desk. I'm glad you came right back here when I turned you around. Shows there's some hope.
Now, cut it out. What did you stop me for?
That watchman. It was you, Alan, wasn't it?
What watchman?
Alan.
All right, all right. Yes, it was me. He was a slob, so he's dead. So what?
The gun you beat him to death with is in your pocket right this minute.
So what?
So I'm going to have to make you go to the police and show them the gun and tell them.
You can't do that by remote control. You'd have to go with me.
I'll go with you.
And what will you tell them about how you happen to know all this? How about that?
I will tell them.
What about us? About me and you? About you?
I don't want
to. You're crazy? You know what that would mean? You think they'd believe you? And if they did, what would it be for the rest of your life? You'd be owned, Lori. Owned, guarded and locked away by them. The slobs, like a piece of machinery, made to do what they wanted you to do for them. You'd never be free again.
All I ever wanted was what any woman wants, the chance to lead a normal life. Look at me, Alan. I'm not bad looking. I never was. But the only man I could ever have been a normal wife to was you, and you never grew up. You've been a selfish little boy all your life, and I've paid for it.
Why didn't you leave me alone? Just leave me alone.
Leave you alone? Do you think you ever really wanted me to leave you alone? I was forced to love you the same way the only woman in the world would be forced to love the only man in the world. Well, now it's too late. I can't let you kill again.
Then do it. Go ahead, handcuff me with that mind of yours. Take me to the cops. Make them believe you. Do you think that'll stop me? Do you think there's any jail that can hold me, any guards that can keep me? Go ahead. You're the only force in this world that can chain me, and you can't watch me 24 hours a day. You've got to sleep sometimes and...
Lori. Lori, you're choking.
You would break loose, wouldn't you, Alan? You would kill again, in spite of all I could do to stop you. All right, you can breathe now. No, don't look at me like that. I'm not going to kill you. Even now, I can't do that. That gun of yours is in your inside pocket. Lift your right hand, Alan. Put it inside your coat. Now, take out the gun. Don't try to fight my will, Alan. You know it's no use. Now, you will point it at me.
No. No, Lori, not you. Anyone but you. Not you, Lori, not you!
Can't you hear me?
Jeannie.
Sweetheart, just try to move your finger. Or your eyes. Just move your eyes a little so I'll know you'll hear me.
Jeannie, I can't move. I can't do anything. Help me.
Oh, no.
It's like being buried alive. I'm paralyzed. Help me. Lori. Lori, come back and help me. Lori. Lori.
Alan had his wish fulfilled. Alan wanted immunity from consequences of his actions. There's only one way to achieve it, and he achieved it. If you do nothing, if you have no actions whatever, then you have immunity from consequences. And that's the only way. Otherwise, you're responsible for what you do, whether you like it or not.
Join us for a fascinating adventure in Exploring Tomorrow. Heard in our cast tonight were Mandel Kramer and Bryna Rayburn. Script was by Gordon Dixon. Produced and directed by Sanford Marshall here in New York. Bill Maher speaking.
We pause now for station identification.
Exploring Tomorrow, on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from May 7th, 1958. Gordon R. Dixon penned the story The Telepath, which I wasn't able to find in a summary of his published work, making it a treat for that series. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. During radio's golden age, the suspense series for many years prided itself on bringing unlikely actors into suspenseful roles like Fibber McGee and Molly, Ozzie and Harriet, and next comedian Jack Benny. He'll actually be making his third of five appearances on the program. Director of the show at the time, Elliot Lewis, had worked for years on the Phil Harris Alice Faye show as a sidekick, in a way, on the series, Phil Harris being the bandleader for Jack Benny's show for nearly 20 years. This episode next first aired on February 2nd, 1953 on CBS, called Plan X.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Jack Benny in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite, following a popular trend, anticipates the strange disappearance of experimental rocket ship Y-272B. The time, the year 2053. The place, the planet Mars. The star, Mr. Jack Benny.
Say, Hap, that was quite a speech you made last night. You were as dynamic as an Autolite stay-full battery.
Oh, that's flattery, Harlow.
And what a battery it is, Hap. The Autolite stay-full is the power-packed pepster that needs water only three times a year in normal car use.
I really don't deserve such praise, Harlow.
Why not? That's the battery with the fiberglass retaining mats protecting every positive plate to reduce shedding and flaking and give the Autolite stay-full longer life, as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards.
I was really good, eh, Harlow?
Well, no one could do any better than to visit his nearest Autolite battery dealer, who services all makes of batteries. To quickly locate him, just call Western Union by number
and ask for Operator 25. I'll tell you the name of your nearest Autolite battery dealer where you can get an Autolite stay full.
The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. And remember, from bumper to taillight, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed Plan X, starring Mr. Jack Benny, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
The card. Do you have the card yet?
One more run through the machine.
Turing, when do you think the Earth rocket is arriving?
Tomorrow. But if the Grand Council wanted the card before now, they should have asked me before now.
Is that it? Let me see it.
Here.
13756. Zeno. Assembly line worker. Atomic escalator factory. Turing, this is the man for the job?
He has the specifications called for.
An assembly line worker. Why, it's incredible. Incredible.
Yes? Yes, right away. You may go in now, Zeno. The Grand Council is ready for you.
One, 13756 called Zeno. Come forward.
Yes, sir.
Zeno, the Grand Council of Mars has a mission for you to perform.
Me? A mission?
You have been selected because of the qualities shown on your work and identity card, Form 42-A. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional or biological drives, and complete suppression of imagination?
Well, I always pride myself
that I... Do not speak unless questioned, Zeno. The Grand Council has other important matters of state.
Of course, of course.
You have heard the telephone broadcast that an armed rocket from the planet Earth is approaching Mars?
Hmm? Oh, I did hear something about it, yes.
Their course has been plotted as bringing them to a landing on the plain outside the city at 10:14 tomorrow morning.
10:14. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
You will see it, Citizen Zeno.
Me?
You.
Well, I'd certainly like to, but I'm due in the atomic escalator factory at 8. I'm on stair treads, you know. And
we've arranged a leave from your job.
Leave? Well, I'm not arguing with the Grand Council, but I've got a pretty important job there, and...
13756, you've been selected to meet and deal with the Earth rocket.
Me?
You will put Plan X into operation.
Plan X?
Citizen Zeno, every Martian for the last 50 years has been thoroughly grounded in Plan X, if and when a rocket should come from the Earth.
Oh. Oh, Plan X. Oh, you see, I thought you said Plan X. Of course.
Then you understand and accept the responsibility.
Oh, anything to help out.
Those assisting you on the mission will be in contact with you.
Good, good.
Have the other council members any questions?
No, I don't believe so.
13756 called Zeno. You are now officially operating under the provisions of Plan X.
Well, thank you. I took the aerial transmission belt directly home. Let them get along without me at the escalator factory if they could. Besides, it was almost quitting time. I went to bed early that night. Tomorrow was going to be a big day. Plan X. Out of the whole population of Mars, I was picked to carry out Plan X. Oh, I'll admit I had my criticisms of the Grand Council in the past, but this restored my confidence in them. Yes, sir. They couldn't have picked a better Martian. I think I'll have a second cup of Ostrich, Mother.
Zeno, you haven't time. You'll be late for the factory as it is.
As I told you, Mother, I'm on leave. Orders of the Grand Council.
Oh, yes, of course, Plan X. But will the Grand Council care if you don't get your job back?
There won't be any trouble. They couldn't replace me in stair treads, and they know it. Pass the Gorot, will you, Mother?
Here. But it's fattening, Zeno.
Well, I got a hard task coming up, Mother. I owe it to myself.
And you will be careful, Zeno.
Oh, Mother, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. It's just an invasion rocket from that stupid planet Earth. So will you stop worrying?
Ah, you're just like your father was, Zeno. Too brave for your own good.
I am? Well, it's nothing, really. I took my time going over to the field where the Earth rocket was to land. I got there at 10, with not another soul around. Another few minutes, and I had my pocket radar screen working. Yep, the rocket was coming in, right on time. Then I could hear it out in space, and soon after that I could see it, bearing our first visitors from Earth. Gee, I was thinking they must be a brave crew. I almost felt sorry for them. It wasn't a bad landing. Not the greatest, but not bad. After another 10 minutes, a port in the side of the rocket started to swing open, and I walked over. If I do say it myself, I made quite an impression.
Commander. Commander, look.
Great Scott, what is it?
Commander, I think we've met our first Martian.
All right, keep back, everybody. Dr. Fielding and I will deal with it. Him, whatever it is. Hand me the Martian kit, Parker.
All ready, sir.
Come on, Fielding. We'll be ready for anything.
Right, Commander. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I'll try to talk to him. We Earth people. We friends. friends, we come from out there. Oh, blast that feeling. I feel like a fool.
Let me try, Commander. We bring you presents here. We bring you beads, cloths of many colors. Take them.
You wouldn't have something a little more conservative?
Fielding, he speaks Esperanto.
Incredible, incredible.
Gentlemen, welcome to Mars.
It's almost as if he was expecting us.
Oh, yes, for some days now. Ever since you left Earth, as a matter of fact.
You hear that, Fielding?
Commander, we may very well be in the presence of a superior race.
Well, thank you.
You say you expected us? Everyone expected us?
Oh, certainly.
But you're here alone.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, all other adult Martians are, shall we say, unavailable.
For how long?
Not wishing to pry, but how long are you staying?
Well, they've taken to the hills, have they? No need to be afraid of us. No need at all.
There's no one in your city over there?
Mainly unavailable. But I'll be glad to show you around. Martian hospitality, you know.
Amazing. Can we go right away, Commander? I'll get Connie.
You can call her, Fielding. But we don't want to blunder into a trap. All right, men. Fall in. Parker, take three men and stay here for rocket guard.
Yes, sir.
Ready, Fielding?
All set, Commander. Connie, I want you to meet our first Martian.
Dr. Fielding, I don't believe it.
Miss Morrison, this is
13756. Call Zeno.
Miss Morrison, this is Zeno.
How do you do?
Well, how do you do?
Incredible. But he's almost handsome in a strange way. And he speaks our language.
Maybe a trick of some kind. Expedition force, on to... to...
It's a little difficult to pronounce.
On to the city!
We march into the city, which, of course, appeared quite deserted. Plan X. I show them a few of the sites, the canals, the Og factory, and the hall of the Grand Council. I was walking alongside of Connie, Miss Morrison, who was most unlike the women of Mars. I caught myself showing off, riding the aerial transmission belt with one hand. Finally, I took them all to the art museum.
Oh, Commander, this place, this civilization, it's fantastic, fantastic.
Look at this sculpture, Dr. Fielding, the line, the detail. I've never seen anything so beautiful.
It's nothing, really.
Zeno, you don't mean that you'd...
Well, no. You see, I work at an atomic escalator factory. I'm in stair treads.
Everybody, over here. Look at this.
Oh, what is it?
Why, isn't that what...
Zeno, is this what I think it is?
Hmm? I'll have to read the nameplate. Oh, yes, a flying saucer. From 1952, your calendar. 100 years old.
1952, the year of the flying saucers. Then they did come from Mars.
Oh, yes.
But none of them ever landed on Earth. Why?
It just didn't seem worthwhile. Nothing personal, of course.
I just can't get over this planet. It's so different from anything we imagined.
Now, here's something you might be interested in. Right over here.
What? Looks like a weapon of some kind.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you see, it's a paralyzer ray. It's 300 years old.
But why do you have it in a museum?
You don't mean that weapons like this are 300 years obsolete.
Well, you might say that, yes. You see, no adult Martian has carried a weapon for hundreds of years.
Well, why not?
Why should we?
But to defend yourself.
Well, we just have no aggressive impulses, that's all.
Well, if someone struck you, wouldn't you strike back?
I couldn't. But it doesn't matter. No one could strike me.
No Martian, that is.
Yes. We've never had any trouble.
Zeno, you're in the diplomatic service?
The escalator game.
Yet you were delegated to meet us.
Yes, by the Grand Council. You see, we stopped having diplomats handle our important missions years ago. Again, nothing personal, of course.
I see. But you are empowered to deal with us.
Deal with you? I certainly am.
Good.
Now, it seems logical to me that we should work out a mutual defense pact. Not right now, of course.
Mr. Zeno! Mr. Zeno!
Who's that?
Well, it looks like children.
We have to see you, Mr. Zeno.
Just some little friends of mine.
Oh, they're darling.
What's the problem, Army?
We're building something, and we're all out of uranium. We need some right away, and...
Zeno, does he mean real uranium?
Oh, of course, Dr. Fielding. Oh, it won't hurt them a bit.
We have to have it right away, Mr. Zeno. We just have to have it.
The city was deserted. Where did these children come from?
Oh, you know how it is with kids when they get to playing.
You'll get the uranium for us, won't you, Mr. Zeno? Will you?
Fascinating. What are they playing, Zeno?
Yes. What's the game?
I don't think you've heard of it, Commander. It's called Plan X.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Jack Benny in Plan X. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Harlow, do you like to make speeches?
Sure, Hap, especially about the Autolite Stay Full battery. Friends, Romans, motorists, lend me your ears while I praise the greatest of the great, the incomparable Autolite Stay Full. The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. The battery that gives longer life as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards. The famous Autolite Stay Full has over three times the liquid reserve of ordinary batteries. And because every positive plate is protected by fiberglass retaining mats to reduce shedding and flaking, the Autolite Stay Full just naturally gives longer life than ordinary batteries.
And where can one get this glorious battery?
From your nearest Autolite battery dealer who services all makes of batteries. To quickly locate him, just phone Western Union and ask for Operator 25.
And I'll tell you where you can get an Autolite Stay Full, the battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite. Now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Jack Benny in Elliot Lewis's production of Plan X, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
For the next week, I showed the Earth expedition around the city, signed a few treaties, and had several long conversations with Miss Morrison. Well, not too long, but I felt we were building a solid friendship. It was too bad it was coming to an end.
You're not going out again this evening, Zeno?
Mother, so I've been out two evenings in a row. Doesn't have to be fatal, you know.
This is the time of year you always get that chest cold.
Oh, chest cold, chest cold. Anyway, Mother, I have to go over to the rocket.
Don't they plan to go back to Earth tomorrow?
They plan to, yes. Miss Morrison promised to take a little farewell walk with me this evening.
Don't let her keep you out in the moonlight too long, Zeno.
Mother, why, that's the most ridiculous thing
I... You just don't know how attractive you are.
Now, Mother, Miss Morrison and I are merely friends. And to think of anything beyond that is just...
Mr. Zeno! Mr. Zeno! We're almost finished the game, Mr. Zeno.
Good, good. All finished, Army?
Just about. It's tomorrow morning at 8:45, isn't it?
8:45. Anything else you need, Army? I mean, any more uranium?
No, I just wanted to make sure it was 8:45. Well, see you in the morning, Mr. Zeno. Goodbye, Mr. Zeno.
See you in the morning, Army.
Such a cute little fellow, Zeno. And smart.
Is he? Mother, you have no idea. The Earth expedition was camped beside their rocket, getting ready for takeoff the next day. Connie, Miss Morrison, waved when she saw me coming. I waved back, and then she smiled at me, and I smiled back. It was a beautiful evening. We walked out over the plain, Connie and I, and then we sat down quite close. Connie lit a cigarette, and I opened up a package of Gurkhog.
Zeno?
Yes, Connie. Miss Morrison.
Connie. How is it you're not married, Zeno? Don't Martians believe in it?
Oh, definitely. But there's Mother and...
And what?
Connie,
You don't find me a little bit strange?
You mean because you're a Martian?
Not exactly. You see, even to Martian girls, I'm a little bit strange.
I find you very attractive, Zeno.
Really?
You're from a superior race?
Well...
The commander may not see it, but Dr. Fielding does, and I do. Your civilization, your culture, and you.
Actually, I'm...
What are the other Martians like? You know, I seem to feel there are people all around watching, waiting, and yet we've seen only you.
And the children, of course.
Yes, and the children. They've been playing around the rocket all day.
Yes, yes.
Zeno, what'll happen to this planet, this beautiful planet, when the next Earth rocket comes? And the next one?
Connie.
I'd almost like to stay here. Or I wish we'd never come. None of us.
Connie, there's something I...
What, Zeno? What is it?
It's just that... It's getting cold. Maybe we better go back. I walked with Connie back to the rocket, and then I went home. There was a message on the autophonopad. The Grand Council wanted to see me at once. You sent for me, gentlemen?
13756 called Zeno. You are nearing the completion of Plan X.
I hope my work has been satisfactory.
You were selected for certain qualifications, Zeno. Set habit patterns, attention to detail, no strong emotional drives.
I remember, yes.
You have assumed a responsibility based on those qualifications.
I suppose you might put it that way.
Are you still prepared to discharge that responsibility?
Well, I think you might as well know that it's been my criticism in the past, as well as that of a lot of other taxpayers, that the Grand Council interferes entirely too much in the private lives of, well, what I mean to say...
Are you prepared to discharge your responsibility?
But about Connie, I mean Miss Morrison, isn't there some way...
You know that there is not.
Well, I suppose not, no.
Plan X will then be completed.
I assure the Grand Council, at 8:45 tomorrow morning, Plan X will be completed. I didn't sleep well that night. Mother was worried when I hadn't any appetite in the morning. She thought it was the start of one of my chest colds. Purposely, I didn't go out to the rocket until almost 8:40. They were blasting the motors, getting ready to take off.
Zeno, I thought you weren't coming.
I overslept, Connie. That is, I didn't really oversleep, but...
The children have been here for an hour.
Just about finished playing, Mr. Zeno.
Oh, good, Army. Did you win the game? Plan X?
I think so. We'll know in a minute, Mr. Zeno.
They're so intense. Are the children on Mars always that way, Zeno?
Well, not always, no.
Ah, come to see us off, did you, Zeno? Good boy. We counted on you.
Well, thank you.
Come over here, Fielding.
Yes, Commander.
Connie, Fielding, Zeno here has been so helpful to us that I've come to a decision.
That's very nice of you, but I'm pretty well stocked up on beads right now.
A different kind of a present. Zeno, I've decided to invite you to come with us to Earth.
To Earth?
How about it, Zeno? We're taking off in 16 minutes at 9 o'clock. How about it?
Well, it's not that I don't appreciate your thinking of me, but Mother would worry and...
You see, we need you, Zeno.
That's not true.
Well, I'm afraid it is. You see, I think Zeno is a much more important man than a worker in an elevator factory.
Escalator. I'm in stair trance.
And if we have Zeno along the next time we come back to Mars, we'd be much less likely to run into, well, an ambush.
I'm afraid he's right, Connie.
He's not right.
How about it, Zeno?
Thanks, but no.
Commander, those kids, they've got some sort of a ray gun set up.
Fielding. Is it real, Fielding?
Why, it looks like it, Commander.
Get Zeno over in front of us, quick. Now they can't shoot without hitting him. Get your gun out, Parker.
You mean the kids, Commander?
If we have to, yes. Tell them not to fire on us, Zeno.
I'm sorry, Connie. Really sorry.
Oh, it's all right, Zeno. Do what you have to do.
Shall we shoot, Mr. Zeno?
Have your gun ready, Parker.
It wouldn't do any good, Commander. All right, Army. Plan X.
Did you fire Parker?
Me, sir? Fire a gun? Why, I couldn't. I couldn't do a thing like that.
No, of course you couldn't. I don't know what made me ask.
The rocket. Its motors have stopped. Its motors have stopped, Commander.
Well, we aren't going anywhere, are we?
Someone said something about going back to Earth.
Back to Earth?
Oh, no. Of course not. Of course not.
Everybody all right?
What happened, Commander? What happened?
Nothing, really. It's just that Ormy and his little friends built a maturity ray. It takes people who are, shall we say, less advanced and increases their IQ by several thousand years.
That's amazing.
Child's play.
Zeno, do you mean to say...
Commander, Dr. Fielding, Parker, Connie, permit me to congratulate you as fellow Martians.
Utterly amazing.
Connie...
Look, here come the Martians.
Our fellow Martians, thousands of them. They're coming to welcome us.
Connie...
Oh, look at them. Oh, they look so handsome, so intelligent, so...
Connie...
Yeah, excuse me, Zeno. I'll be back, Commander. I have to go to them. I'll be back.
Well, she did like me for a while. Before Plan X. But she did like me. Even just for a while. That's something, isn't it?
Suspense. Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. Jack Benny. This is Harlow Wilcox again, speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of 1953, as we did last year, the Autolite family will join in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is a worldwide family, and numbers among its members some 30,000 men and women in Autolite plants in the United States, Canada, and many foreign countries, and the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as thousands of Autolite distributors and dealers, and the many leading manufacturers who use Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family will salute the Dodge Division of Chrysler Corporation on the next Autolite Suspense program on television. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense so that you'll be sure to see this program. Next week, the dramatic report of a man's desperate race for freedom. A true story with names and places changed in order to protect the lives of the principals. The story is called The Man Who Cried Wolf. Our star, Mr. Jeff Chandler. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Plan X was written for Suspense by Richard Powell. Featured in tonight's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Norma Varden, John McIntyre, Truda Marson, Howard McNear, William Conrad, Jack Crucian, Joseph Kearns, and Stuffy Singer. The Jack Benny Show may be heard every Sunday on the CBS Radio Network. And remember, next week, Mr. Jeff Chandler in The Man Who Cried Wolf. The 1953 March of Dimes has nearly passed by. If you haven't given your dime or dollar to help in the crusade against polio, why not do it now?
send your contribution to your local March of Dimes headquarters.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense, on Tuned 2 yesterday from February 2nd, 1953 on CBS. And so closes this hour of science fiction on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening. ¶¶